Thank you. Isn't God good?
Amen.
All the time.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All the time. It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate you being here. I appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel. I went over, I can't remember the name of the place where I went last night, in Wilson and somewhere over there, and preached. I enjoyed that. Brother Lewis, that his name?
Irvin Lewis.
Asked me to come. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity. Amen.
Right,
want to work for God.
Yes.
The rest of my time. Rest of my time here.
Amen.
I don't want to sit down. I want to go on.
Yes.
Amen. Somebody said, well, you're getting old, Brother Ross. I am. But I'm not too old to preach.
Come on,
amen. Pray for me that God would open the doors for me. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right. 1 Samuel 10 and 26. I want to read one verse of Scripture. 1 Samuel 10 and 26. I want you to help me preach tonight. Not just in amening and all that, but just pray for me. Pray that God would use us tonight.
Yes.
Not for our glory, but for His glory. Amen. 1 Samuel 10 and 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Let's read it again. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched.
Yes.
You may be seated. I would like to say before I preach tonight that I appreciate everything this church has done for my daughter and her family. I really do. It's touched me. It's been amazing how much food, how much comfort, how much that they have done. And I want to tell you, I appreciate that, and I'll pray that God will repay you, that He'll bless you and repay you. I'd like to preach for just a little while on men with God-touched hearts. Men with God-touched hearts.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
According to the Bible, the heart is the center not only of spiritual activities, but of all the operations of human life. You hear that? All the operations of human life. Deuteronomy 6 and 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How? With all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Amen? With all your might. Hallelujah. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep them and do them, how? With all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now if we go over in the New Testament, Jesus himself was teaching and preaching. And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I mean, that's everything that's active in your life. That's all of you. That is everything. So what God really is saying to us through the Old Testament prophets and people, and also through His Son Jesus, He is saying, I want your heart. I want you to give me your heart. He is saying all the activities and everything that goes on in your life, I want it. I want it to be for me. He isn't saying that you can do what you want to. Your heart can be like, as long as you just give Him, go to church, do what you want to do. But He is saying, I want every activity to be under My Word, under My Spirit, under control of the heart, the mind, the spirit, the soul, everything about us. Somebody said, that's, Brother Ross, that's too much to ask of us. No. You know, a lot of people never get to that place. They go through church life. They go through their whole family life. And they, for the most part, they go to church. They wear the right clothes. They don't talk nasty or bad. They don't talk about their neighbor and all that stuff. But there's still a corner of that heart that they never turn over to God. Somebody said, Brother Ross, have you did that? I'm telling you, there's some times that if I don't watch it, I want to draw back and take back that I have given to God for some reason or the other. And then I have to go back and ask God to forgive me and tell God, You have all of me. All of me. Not just part of me. You have all of me. And every time I do that, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that will rule over my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. And I'll receive strength that I would not receive any other way because I have totally and completely surrendered my life to God. Jesus said this, Thou shalt love. He didn't say you had an option. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind. The heart is the home of the personal life. And hence a man is designated according to his heart. Wise, he is wise. He receives strength. If he receives strength spiritually and even physically, it is by the heart. Come on. When that heart quits beating, you know you don't have very long to live. You see people go to grasping for breath. And I'm telling you, folks, if we don't give God all of our heart, we'll soon die spiritually. We'll die spiritually. The pure and the upright and righteous, he that hath clean hands and what? A pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said, for what? They shall see God. Now, I'm going to say it like this and not do any damage to it. He is saying the pure in the heart are going to know God. They're going to know God. It's one thing to talk about God. It's another thing to know Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You can talk all day about God and not know Him, not have the right relationship with Him. I'm talking about a relationship that people will know that you know God. With all of you, everything in you, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength, everything about you, you will love Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. About to get happy now. Glory to God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in the heart. Hallelujah. You know, if a man is defiled, he's got to be defiled through that heart. I'm not talking about the heart that pumps the blood through your body. I'm talking about your heart, the center of man. That part that God deals with. That part that God woos and draws and pricks and convicts you through. Somebody said, He convicts me through conscience. Yes, but guess what? Everything, the conscious, amen, all of that works off of the heart. And let me tell you something else. When you are looking or hearing something, you hear it with you see it with the eyes. You hear it with the ears, but it does not have anything to do with you, to hurt you spiritually. until it goes to the heart, the center of man.
Right.
If it affects your heart, it affects your relationship with God.
Right.
Amen. The reason why we're not seeing the things done in the church world today, it is because our relationship with God is not complete like it ought to be.
Right.
It is not with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Not only are we supposed to love our God that way, we're supposed to love our neighbor.
Right. Go ahead, brother.
As ourselves.
Boy.
That's something else, you know. We got some tools and things we got locked up and put in the garage or put in the shed, and we don't care much about loaning them. No, we don't.
Come on, brother. Come on now.
Getting down home now, aren't we?
Go ahead.
We kind of are partial to those things. I know we've worked for them. I know that they're ours.
Right.
We paid for them, Brother John.
Right.
We went down there and put our money across the desk and paid the man at the counter and paid the man for them and took them back to the house.
Yeah.
We're the one that worked and drawed that paycheck.
Right.
Come on here.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, if we belong to God,
right,
then our paycheck belongs to God.
Right.
Come on. Every dime you got in the bank, everything you own.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, you take a gun, you know, and they're a good thing to have if you're going to hunt. They're a good thing to have. I don't know too much where we ought to draw the line. I'm getting deep here. Where we ought to draw the line at, you know, about shooting somebody that's trying to take over our house. I don't know where we should draw the line at. I've often said, I feel like that if we live right and we do right and we got the power of God in our life, I believe if an enemy starts to break in on you, I believe you could say, I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe God would bind him. Hallelujah.
That's right.
For what it's worth. For whatever it's worth. Amen. If we don't trust him, then you might ought to get you one. Hallelujah. I know, like I said, I'm getting in deep here. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Blessed are the pure in heart, the upright in heart. Psalm 78 and 72, he said, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Integrity of his heart. Now, if his integrity of his heart wasn't right, he couldn't actually guide them in the right way. He could not take care of them in the right form, in the right fashion. So he led them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
But that on the good ground now, those on the good ground, they are they which had an honest and good heart.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, brother.
You ever thought about that?
Go ahead, brother.
They own the good ground. That's the ones that brought forth good fruit.
Yeah.
Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold.
Oh, yeah.
They had a good heart. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's a real commodity today. Patience. Could I tell you that I believe that God has let me go through some things in the past maybe 3 years, that it has taught me some patience. It's taught me that I should wait upon the Lord.
Yeah, go ahead.
They that wait upon the Lord shall what?
Renew
their strength. They shall mount up. They shall mount up, those that wait on the Lord. If we're not waiting on God, how can we mount up? That's His word. It's not ours. I didn't write it. God Himself moved upon Isaiah to write it. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know something about an eagle? when he's flying, when he's fixing to get ready to fly, he likes a wind to come toward him. He likes that wind, and he'll just spread those big old giant wings up like this and do them out like this. And though that wind comes and just lifts him right on up. The storm, he rides the storm to the top, folks. We don't want no storms. Come on. We don't want no hardships. We don't want no difficulties in our life. And sometimes God sends them along to purify our hearts, to give us patience. And I know God has done that for me. I don't claim to be anything outside of what God has made me. Many times my wife will tell you, I beat myself up. I do it. I feel like that sometimes when I preach, I feel like I just flopped, just didn't do anything.
Come on, bro. Go ahead. Come on, man.
And I know, it's hard sometimes when God will give you message after message after message.
Right.
It's correction, it's instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I'm telling you, the church world, maybe not this church. This church is to me one of the most spiritual churches that I've had the pleasure to visit. Don't let that give you the big head. You can lose it just like that. As an individual, you can lose it. Or as a church as a whole, you can lose it. But if your heart stays right with God and you love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, I'm telling you, you'll mount up like that eagle does. They take it no more. The storm will not bother you. You'll just put your wings out, amen. And when that storm comes, He'll just lift you up, right up above the storm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mount up as wings of eagles. Shall run and not grow weary. Shall walk and not faint. Men with God touched hearts.
Yes.
God can do so much.
That's right.
With people.
Yes.
That their heart has been touched by Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Would you just stick up your hand and praise Him? Come on. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God.
God help so fresh our Lord. I just don't have a heart to ever praise Him. We need to because we are Lord. For what you've been in our lives. Our Lord, we need you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, hallelujah.
The heart also is a seat of the conscience. The seat of the conscience in Romans 2:15, it is naturally wicked. Come on.
Yeah.
And hence, it contaminates the whole life and character of man.
Yes.
Nobody, nothing. I'm talking about nothing. No man, woman, boy or girl. I don't care how high of an education you have. I don't care where you've been and what you've done. If your heart is not right, you cannot help anybody.
Come on, brother.
You need help yourself if your heart's not right with God. Because it contaminates the conscience. And when a man, his conscience has been contaminated by this world and the things of this world, he can't help anybody. You know, Saul had just really come to be king over Israel when this happened. And he gathered some men together to fight a battle. And some of them gathered to him was real close. They knew him well and everything. And when a certain thing happened, they wanted to get hold of certain people, Brother John, and kill them. And Saul said, no, won't happen. We're not going to do that. We're going to do that. And then you'll read this scripture later And it talks about every heart of the men that was with Saul. God had touched them. A band of men. Could have been high as thousands. I don't know how many. But you think about 10 men or 10 people that their heart is right with God. That their heart is charged, amen, by the Word of God, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. There is nothing, amen, withheld from those people. Nothing withheld from anybody when they turn their heart over to God. And their conscience is pure. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. They defile the man. Hallelujah. Help me here for a little while and I'll try to get through. There must be a new heart in us when we serve God. It's got to be. It cannot be any other way. It's got to be. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed. Now listen to what he said. Because sentence is against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Right.
You have people, and I don't know of any here. I'm not saying this because I know of anybody here. But people, a lot of times, their children, they want to live right. And they live right. But when they send their children to school, they don't want them to be punished and talked about because they live different.
Come on.
When I sent my children to school, they lived different.
Yeah.
I didn't let them wear clothes that would disgrace the Christian race.
Go ahead, bro.
Amen?
Right.
And so a lot of times they send their children out there and their children don't claim anything because they don't want to be persecuted.
Right.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want no restrictions against them. They want to be loose.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, 9 times out of 10 when that child grows up, it will reject everything that you've lived. Because you didn't correct it, you didn't instruct it, because your heart was not in what you were doing.
Come on, brother, go ahead. Amen. Yeah. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I'm not, God forgive me if you think I'm boasting and bragging in me. I just wanted to live right. I just wanted to do right.
Yes.
I wanted my children to do right. I taught them. I preached it. I lived it. And they were touched by it. I only have 1 out of 4 that's not living right. That was my son. You met him. And he was impressed with this church. He was impressed with his church. He really was. Really, really impressed with his church. So see, if you let down, there's going to be people you can't reach.
That's right.
You can't do nothing for them.
Amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost in here.
Yes.
Help us, God, help us. God, help us. Right, on the job, wherever, in school, wherever we're at. That heart's got to be pure.
Yes.
It's got to be beating.
Right.
Pulsating. Love. Mercy. Grace. Come on. Holiness. Righteousness.
Right.
Faithfulness.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at a man that realized the importance of a clean heart. David said, create. Now, create means to make. To build, to make. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit, a right attitude.
Yeah.
If there ever was a day
that we need to have the attitude, amen, that we're going to live right, whatever it takes.
Come on, brother.
Whatever, I mean, if somebody gets angry at us and talks about us, looks at us, make fun at us, we don't want that. We want to be accepted by everybody. I mean, let me tell you something. If you're accepted by everybody, that means that you're kin to that person. Amen. You're doing some of the things they're doing.
Amen.
Doesn't matter to me whether they accept me or not.
That's right. Amen.
I'm wanting him, Brother John, to accept me. Amen. When I bow the knee and go to pray, he's there. He's there. I've stopped many times. I ain't boasting. I'm just telling you if your heart's right. Amen. I've stopped many times. I'd say, thank you, God, for hearing me. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Many times I've stopped and I'm burdened down. A lot of other things are wrong. But my heart was right. I'd stop and God would speak to me. I feel the Holy Ghost would just come in beside me and would take my prayers and take them right on through the prince and powers of the air. Come on here now. Right on through the prince and powers of the air. Right to the right hand of the Father where Jesus sits making intercession for us.
Right.
You can't get them through by yourself. But if your heart is right, amen, you pray and God will hear you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And the devil can't stop it.
That's right.
There's nothing he can do about it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody praise him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
David said, deliver me from blood guiltness. O God, thou art my salvation, and my tongue shall praise thee aloud of thy righteousness. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And what else? In his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be what? Like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. His leaf will not wither. Amen. And he'll bring forth his fruit in due season. Amen. Praise God. That's if the heart's right. If your heart's filled, thrilled, motivated. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He's not scornful. What he does will prosper. Whatever he does, saints of God, it will prosper.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to me that I stay in touch with God. That world out there will strip you. You hear me? It will strip you. It will tear you down. It will destroy you. The devil has no respect to person. Matter of fact, if you're doing anything for God, he has got his cohorts on your trail and trying his very best to pull you down and destroy you and destroy your influence among God's people and out there in that world.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have to stop. You say, God, I want brokenness in my heart. I want brokenness in my soul. Just give me brokenness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Occasionally, the enemy's pushing and shoving and doing everything he can. I just find me a place to pray. I like my place to pray. It's in my study. And I don't pray with the wife. It's not because she's not right. She's a good woman. She prays by herself, and I pray by myself. Bible said, Shut the door. And I get in there. And did you know, sometimes if I feel like I failed or I feel like I haven't done what exactly God wants me to do, I don't just rush right in there and try to get a hold of God. What do you do, Brother Ross? Repent. And us holiness folks think that is a bad thing.
Come on, brother.
I ain't talking about sinning. I ain't talking about doing no ungodly thing. I'm talking about failing God because I didn't pray about something, because I didn't do exactly what He wanted me to. And there's no use you getting down there and trying to pray. If the heart is not fixed, the heart is not right, stop and get it right.
Yes, amen. Amen. Amen.
And then I feel His presence. Just saturates my heart, my life, my soul. Then I can pray for you. Brother Ross, I pray for this church.
Yeah.
I pray for this church. I got some interest in this church. I got some children. Yes. And this is one of the places where I get fed right here. Yes. I get fed right here. I know you're saying, boy, what's wrong with you, Brother Ross? I hope nothing. Break up your fallow ground. That's fleshly plowed or tilled ground, fallow ground, or untilled ground. And you know what? You know what made that? You know what made that heart like that? It was crusty. And what happened was they didn't plow it deep enough, or they didn't keep it tilled up like it was supposed to, and the little showers or the dew would come and it would set up a crust across that ground. And they called it fallow ground because it couldn't be, the water could not get in to the ground because it was hard.
Yeah.
And God had a reference here to the heart of mankind. You know, when God plants something, He wants to plant it deep. He just doesn't want it on the surface of the ground. You remember some of the seed fell by the wayside? Stony ground. And it didn't do anything. When the trials and the temptations and all of those things came, guess what happened? It wilted and died. We don't need that, do we? You say, well, Brother Ross, you're preaching just like we have. Now, I don't know who has and who hasn't, but I can tell you one thing. This is exactly what God spoke to me today, and I'm sure of it. Amen. And what happens a lot of times, and the wind and the little bit of rain it gets, it comes along, and before it has time to soak in, the wind crushed over that ground, and that water just runs off. I remember a time when I had some dirt. I thought it was dirt, but it's about half clay, you know, something like that. And I said, well, I'm going to put that in the front yard where the rain had rushed in, you know, rain running my grass and just killing it just because it would just run and sit there. So I put some of that soil that had clay in it. And so, Brother John, my yard just got to where it was dying right in front of my steps. It was dying, wouldn't grow, and my grass was just dead. And I said, what happened to this? So one day I get me a shovel, and I go out there, and I start digging down. And you talk about that ground was so hard. I couldn't hardly get it dug up. I got down there. That clay had went back together. And it made a shield there. And what was above that It never got watered because that clay was there. It made a crust. The rain would come and just run right off. Hard ground. Crusty ground. Hard heart. Hard heart. You'll start doing things you wouldn't believe you'd ever done. You're hitting long till your joy is gone. Your contentment's gone. Your peace is gone. You're not satisfied with serving God. And you know, for the most part, we don't know what happened. That's the way Israel was. And God said, you break up that crusty ground. You break it up. It's time. Amen. To break up the fallow ground. Plant again. You get it where it's not hard. And that's the way it is with your heart. If it gets hard, you'll say things that you would have never said. You'll do things you would have never done before. That's right. I don't know about you, but I want a soft heart.
Yes, man. Yes.
And Jesus, He knew that. And John and Paul knew that in the book of Hebrews. And he said, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And Paul then says, take heed, brethren. He was talking to the New Testament church. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's writing to Christians. Brethren. He used the word brethren. Take heed. We can get there, folks. Deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning where confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Seven evidence of hardness of heart. Let me give them to you. Seven evidence of hardness of heart. Light view of sin. Number one, light view of sin. Number two, partial acknowledgement and confession of that sin. Just a partial. You don't get rid of all of it. Number three, pride and conceit. Pride. Pride is a cruel monster. God can go to using you, and if you don't watch it, it'll go to your head, affect your heart. Come on here.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Right.
I'm telling you right now, when God uses you, the best thing you can do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Humble yourself under the mighty hand. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place.
Come on, brother. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Pride and conceit. Number four, ungratefulness. Not grateful for what God has done in your life. Feel the Holy Ghost. Not grateful for what God is doing in your life. Not grateful that you're in a good church. It's in the mall. Come on here. Five is unconcerned about the word and the ordinances of God. Unconcerned. Be careful that you don't catch yourself listening to the preaching of God's word and it not affect you.
Come on. Amen.
If you do, you're in trouble.
Right.
I want God to touch my heart. I want God to touch my heart. So it'll stay soft. Amen. Number six. Inattention. inattention, not paying attention to the preaching of God's Word. That is another evidence of hardness of heart. Number seven is overriding convictions of the conscience. Overriding the conviction of the conscience. Yeah. That conscience is given to you to help you. And if you override that, it doesn't matter what kind of preacher you've got. It doesn't matter what kind of mother or father you've got. It doesn't matter what the brothers and sisters in the church are doing. You can override it.
Yes.
And you can get in trouble for it. I feel like tonight that I have did what God wants me to do here. Folks, I'm telling you, we need our hearts touched by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the wooing, drawing, pricking power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, and you have here in this church, and I appreciate it when I come, I enjoy it. But if you don't have the Spirit wooing and drawing and pricking and convicting your heart and your soul, then I'm telling you, you don't have what you need.
Right, come on.
Amen. And you'll grow cold and you'll grow hard-hearted.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And it'll be difficult from there on out for you to pray. It'll be difficult for you to get through to God. I want to ask you, I don't want a hand raised. But when you get down to pray, do you have trouble getting through to God? I don't want a hand raised. I don't want nobody. I'm just asking you. When you get down to pray, do you have trouble praying? Do you have a routine prayer that you go through? Or when you get down to pray, does the Holy Ghost come and help you to pray? Hello?
Go ahead.
If not, your heart is grown hard. And God hasn't touched it lately. You've not let Him touch it. Stand with me, please. I want us to come. Let's spend some time at this altar. Come on. Come on. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Take time to pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, help each one, God. Help each one, Lord.